We're dealing with the home. This is kind of a teachy type series here. And so I hope it's going to help you. You know, when I was praying my wife just a moment ago, got to thinking about the grace of God in our lives. She was praying about some things, and her prayer humbled me again to remind us all that what we would be were it but for the grace of God, you know. And so the things we're dealing with in the home here, just remember, you may not have had the best home, but it can be a good home. It can be. We're dealing with things prior to marriage, and you may have done it wrong, and I'll mention more about this in a moment. But you can teach others right and learn from the mistakes that were made. So Amos chapter 3, let's look at verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel. I'm in verse 1. Against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Here's the verse we're looking at. Can two walk together except they be agreed?
Amen.
Well, we know the answer to that.
Amen.
Can two walk together except they be agreed? Let's pray. Father, I need thee tonight. I ask for a fresh filling of thy spirit. I pray, Lord, that you'd rebuke and bind the devil, and may your word,
Amen.
As you say in your word, have free course this evening.
Yes,
we trust that it will not return void.
Amen.
And Lord, as I give this really one simple principle with many sub-principles, I pray that every young person would take heed to this. I pray that everyone that has children would take heed to this, or grandchildren, or perhaps the unmarried, or perhaps someone who will be instructing someone else in this area of getting to the marriage altar. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us see that this applies to all of us. And so I need you tonight, again, lead and direct my thoughts and words. And again, we pray if someone's here tonight not saved, that they get saved this evening. And for the believer, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of thee. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now again, for the past several weeks, we've been looking at this subject of helps for the home. And the reason for this is because of the emphasis that the Bible places on the home. Would you not agree that the Bible places a great emphasis on the home?
Amen.
It was the very first institution that God ordained way back in Genesis chapter 2. Before the church, before human government, before the nation of Israel, God ordained the family. And may I say the Christian family.
Amen.
Now the home is important for several reasons. One is because it's the primary place for teaching the Bible.
Amen.
Can I say that again? It is. You say, preacher, I thought that's what the Christian school is for. I thought that's what the church is for. I thought that's what Sunday school is for. It is in part, but the primary place is your home.
Amen.
The question is, are you doing it?
What?
It's the primary place of instilling Christian character. Training the next generation for God.
Amen.
The home is the foundation for society.
Amen.
It determines the strength of a church. Do you understand? We are only as strong as a church as we are in our homes.
Amen.
You say, well, we hear some preaching from the pulpit. We got people in here that come and they deliver the word of God.
Amen.
Praise God for that, but that doesn't make a strong church. It's what we do with the word we receive that makes a strong church. I told you I'd be teaching tonight, but I think I'm doing a little preaching right now. The home reflects the love of Christ to a lost and dying world. Do you know when the world sees your home, your marriage, your family, it ought to say, boy, something's different there.
Amen.
They must see Jesus Christ and the love of Christ, a love that the world does not know of, existing in your marriage and in your home. The home is a powerful force when serving the Lord as a unit.
Amen.
What a powerful thing to serve the Lord as a family.
Amen.
Now, for the past several weeks, we've been going back even before the beginning. By that, I mean even before the I do's take place. And we've been looking at some principles of getting to the marriage altar biblically. Do you know that even before a home gets established, how a person gets to the marriage altar, How they determine the will of God for them in this area is vitally important.
Amen.
Vitally important. And so this morning, or this evening, I want to preach on this subject. It is part three. Notice, getting started right. You know, in 2004, a study was done by three university professors out of, Oregon. 531 incarcerated youths. They studied to show how young people turned out that got involved with crime at a young age. And the statistics of those that were young that got involved with crime at a young age were very alarming. Do you know that every year in America more than 100,000 youths are incarcerated? And the vast majority of them are boys. After being released from their incarceration, they found out by this study that many of those young people never go back to school. They never go back. Even fewer will ever earn any form of high school diploma. Only 12% of them. 12 out of 100. Very few of them will secure any type of long-term employment. Statistics tell us that most of them have difficulty succeeding from that point forward for the rest of their lives. Now, I understand with Jesus Christ, all things are possible, amen? And they can turn around. But what I'm trying to get at is this. The title of the article was this, The Importance of Getting Started Right.
Amen.
It's very important. The authors of the article were stressing the importance of getting started right in life. My point is this, getting started right in life, and particularly when it comes to getting to the marriage altar, is very important.
Amen.
Because how you get to the marriage altar will greatly affect the kind of marriage that you have after you say, I do. It's going to affect your lifelong testimony. It's going to affect your future troubles and your lifelong relationships. I preached on that a couple of weeks ago. Get the CD. Now again, just because you may have started wrong doesn't mean you can't have a wonderful marriage. Doesn't mean you can't have a marriage pleasing to God. Thank God for repentance. Thank God for grace. Thank God that God can restore the years that you and I lose when we mess up. Praise God for that, according to the book of Joel. But if you're here tonight and you're a young person or not so young person and you haven't started yet in this marriage thing or getting to the marriage altar, understand something very important, that God's grace doesn't justify you to do things your way. In other words, don't think, well, there's God's grace, so I'll just do it my way and God will forgive me and things will turn out right. That's not the way it's supposed to work. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. In other words, I don't say, well, God's grace is available, so I'll just sin, I'll just do what I want, I'll date around and do it the world's way, and you know, hopefully it'll turn out okay. That's not the way it ought to be done. God's way to get to the marriage altar is always the best way, and He does have, no doubt, some principles in His Word that apply to this area of life.
Amen.
He doesn't just say, do whatever you want and hope it works out. No, we must apply principles.
Amen.
Well, what are they? Well, we saw one last week. Where there's actually, I think, about four or five of them we're going to look at. And notice I got your new handout this week. How many are happy about that? Amen. How many doesn't matter? Okay, all right. Anyway. Well, you got one. Amen. The first principle we talked about in getting to the marriage altar biblically is the principle of patience.
Amen.
Do not give God a deadline by saying, I just have to be married. All my friends are being married. Everybody else has somebody and I don't. And we give God a deadline. No, have patience. Wait on God.
Amen.
I did a whole lot more than what I just said last week, so get that CD. But tonight let's look at this second principle. What is the second principle? By the way, it's not just pick a couple of them. All of these are going to work together. We'll probably take one for the next few weeks. But the second one is this, and it's a principle we find in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. It is a principle of this, compatibility. Write it down.
Amen.
Now here in our text, the prophet Amos asks a rhetorical question. He says, can the two walk together except they be agreed? Well, the obvious answer is
nope.
No. They can't. Now we know he's talking about the northern kingdom of Israel that wanted to commit idolatry and worship heathen gods and still be identified with the true and living God. They thought, we want to do what the world's doing. We want to worship the Canaanite gods, but we want to, with our lips, give lip service to God. And God says to Amos, I want you to go to that northern kingdom. I want you to ask them this question. Ask them, can two walk together except they be agreed? And the answer is obviously no. The principle is this, that if there are two people going in two different directions, they cannot walk together. That makes sense, does it not?
Right.
Imagine if we had two people up here, and I didn't have time to do this, but if we had a rope and we had them tied together, and we said, okay, you walk that way, and you walk that way. Is it going to work out real well for you? No, it's not. Because you can't walk together unless you be agreed. You have to be going in the same direction for it to work out. You have to have compatibility.
Amen.
Now notice, if you would, underneath that, I want you to write this down. Because many parents do not understand the difference between courtship and dating. And I want to try to clarify it here. Notice this statement. Compatibility is to be determined as best as possible before courtship begins, not by courtship. Now, if there's a statement I'd like you to go home with, that's the one. Actually, I'd like you to go home with all of them. But if I had to pick one, can we look at it again?
Amen.
Compatibility is to be determined as best as possible before a courtship begins, not by a courtship.
Amen.
Do we understand that courtship and dating are not the same?
Right. Amen.
I don't know if you do or not. Because I've talked to many parents that don't get this. Some young Christians call their dating courtship to try to Christianize it. In other words, make it sound acceptable. And you'll have a boy or a girl, if I say boy, it applies to both, that will go from one girl to another girl to another girl, or a girl that goes from one boy to another boy, and they'll call it courtship. That's not courtship. Can I get an amen right there?
Amen.
Help me know that you're with me tonight. That's not courtship, that's dating. Others have the idea that if I'm dating someone with the possibility of marriage, then that's courtship. So they try this one and that one and then this one and then that one. Having this idea, well, because I'm going with them with the idea and possibility of getting married, then that means it's a courtship. They're just trying to find Mr. or Mrs. Right. That's not courtship either, my friend.
Amen.
Well, that may surprise you, but it's not.
Yeah.
Dating is when someone enters into trial relationships with no present commitment for marriage. We'll say it again. Dating is when someone enters into a trial relationship or trial relationships with no present commitment for marriage. It may be done for mere enjoyment. Some say, well, I like him or I like her. Or they say, we're going out, or he's my boyfriend or she's my girlfriend. Or it can be done to determine if someone will be a good candidate for a spouse. Either way, if there's no present commitment for marriage, it is dating. When you enter into a courtship, you have already determined beforehand, by using biblical principles as much as possible, apart from emotions, that this person is God's will for you to marry. And so when you enter into a courtship, you're heading to the marriage altar. Does that make sense? You know, the Bible only has three categories of people as far as marriage is concerned. There's the unmarried, there's the married, and then there's the espoused or betrothed, someone who has made a commitment. There's no other one. And so if what you're doing doesn't fit in any of those, then you are using a worldly philosophy. Now, I understand something may happen along the way that can change things, but the intention is to predetermine God's will as much as possible before the emotions begin.
Amen.
Well, how do you do that if you don't try them out? Watch them. No, just in group settings, observe them with friends and so forth. And one thing, though, that must be determined absolutely is this principle of compatibility.
Amen to that.
Now, I encourage young people, especially daughters, we did this with my daughters, to sit down with your parents and write some things down, some things I'm going to say tonight, and some other things down beforehand. Before the emotions get involved of things that you say, this is what I am looking for, what I believe God wants me to see in a potential spouse. Most of what I say tonight should be on that list.
Amen.
I know one thing you might want to add. The guy must say amen in the service. Try that one. But anyway. Alright, so being compatible can be defined, and I don't have this written down, but this idea of compatibility is this. When considering courtship, the person should be the same in key areas of life while using the areas where you are unique to build one another. Alright, I'm going to say it again. When you're praying and thinking about compatibility, it means the person you are praying about needs to be the same in key areas of life while using the areas which are unique to build one another. And I'm going to explain that here in a moment. So we ask, what are the key areas of life? What are some things as a young person or a person that not so young, that's unmarried, as they're praying about God's will, what are some things that they say, this has to be compatible? What are they? Well, here they are. Four of them tonight. Notice letter A, write this down. This is so simple. This is not rocket science. But it's so often overlooked when the emotions get involved. And that is letter A, they must be Christian.
Amen.
Christian. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Notice verse 14. I think we know this verse. There's many applications, but certainly a powerful one would be in the area of marriage. Notice verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?
Amen.
Again, the answer is none. There should be no concord. There should be no agreement. Write it down in your mind or on the paper or somehow put it down in your heart. No Christian should ever marry a non-Christian.
Amen.
Well, that's so easy. Yeah. But so little practice. You are just asking for trouble.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how nice they seem. It doesn't matter how cute they are. Like me. It doesn't matter. That was a joke. I'm just obviously, thank you. Doesn't matter how fun they are, amen. It doesn't. If they are not saved, watch this, young people, if they are not saved, they should immediately not even be considered. Don't even think about it.
Amen.
Don't even try it.
Amen.
You see, the differences may not surface right away.
Right.
But they will surface.
Amen.
And create problems.
Right.
Especially when Sundays roll around after you're married. Time for church. I don't go to church.
Yeah.
Or when children come into the picture. Well, I think we ought to get the baby christened. You don't think that happened? Or when it comes to giving to the work of God. You know, this problem that I'm talking about here will usually rear its ugly head when young people either attend a public school or they get their first jobs and enter into the workplace. All of a sudden, this becomes a big deal. I understand that it is important for young men to work. I think it's a good thing. I think they ought to work. They need to have, well, I'm going to talk about a little bit, some character. But understand when that happens that this has the potential, depending on the job, of bringing them into contact with many young, single, unsaved people.
Amen.
People that they work with, they're going to see them on a daily basis. Customers that patronize the workplace, they're going to get into it brings in a whole set of problems and a potential that there might catch the eye, or an unsaved person might catch their eye.
Right.
Dad, if you have a daughter, I would be very careful as to if and where you allow her to work. You say, preacher, well, you coming out of the dark ages tonight. Maybe so.
Amen.
But I call it biblical. Amen?
Amen.
My wife and I tried to be very, very careful where our girls, if and where they worked. When we were in Oxford, we did allow Justine. We knew she was praying about school and college, and she felt led to go to Bible college and all that. And so we to save some money, we permitted her to work in a daycare, but it was a daycare where everyone that worked there was a woman. And that made us feel comfortable. Well, maybe not so much today. But anyway, it used to make us feel comfortable. And, you know, she would save money for college, but we picked her up, we dropped her off. But understand, even then, there's still a potential. Even then, young fathers could come in to pick up their little child and have conversations with the employees and so forth. My point is, the potential was there. Now, thank the Lord, Felicia did piano lessons. It was always with Christians, so that it was pretty easy with her. But my point is this, if someone is not saved, they should immediately not even be considered.
Amen.
Evangelistic dating is not biblical. Not a biblical practice. What do you mean by that? In other words, dating a lost person with the intention of, well, I can win them to the Lord. Or talking to somebody you like and winning them to Christ and they make a profession of faith. So you automatically think, well, I guess I can date them now. They're saved. Well, I'm not done with compatibility yet. That was just number one. But remember this, if you marry a person that is not God's will, that person becomes God's will. You understand that, right?
Amen.
Everybody does. The Bible doesn't teach divorce. It doesn't. I know it happens. I know it's a terrible... It's a lot of things. I'm not downing somebody that had to go through that. It's a terrible thing. But understand, if you marry somebody, that is the person for the rest of your life, according to the Bible. You made a vow with them, and you made a vow to God about them.
Right.
Till death do us part.
Amen.
Turn with me quickly to 2 Kings chapter 11, because Solomon was one of the kings in the Bible that disregarded this idea of compatibility. His Achilles heel was women. And it was his downfall. Look at verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women. I wrote in my Bible next to that problem. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites. Boy, he didn't pick one. He picked a bunch. Zidonians and Hittites of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. Notice, for surely they will turn you away your heart after their gods.
Amen.
So Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart.
Right.
You understand the Bible does not condone polygamy. We understand that, right? You go, well, Solomon did it. Just because the Bible records something doesn't mean it condones something.
Right.
It records Satan's lie. Does that mean it in the garden? Does that mean, well, we can lie? No. Just because it records it doesn't mean it condones it. And go back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 2. One woman and one man for life. That is God's plan.
Amen.
And so again, it needs to start, this compatibility, with number one, being a Christian. But it doesn't stop there. Letter B, write this down. You need to be compatible not only at being a Christian, but also commitment must be the same.
Amen.
Again, Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? You should both be the same in your level of commitment. In two areas. Number one, write it down, your commitment to the Lord.
Amen.
If you're praying about someone, they should have the same commitment to God that you have.
Amen.
They should have the same desire to serve God, to raise a family for God, to have personal devotions, to have family devotions, and to be faithful to church services Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special meetings, jubilees, missions conference, every time the doors open.
Amen.
That commitment should be there.
Amen.
You see, there will be a problem if one person is committed to God and the other person is not.
Right.
Can I send out a warning here for a moment to young people? Girls, guys will put on a show to get a girl.
Right.
I'm sorry, guys, I let the secret out, didn't I? I just let it out. Guys will put on a show, they'll pretend to be something, they will act all spiritual when they know I want this girl, if that's what she's looking for. You better beware of that.
Amen.
Well, guys, girls will do the same thing. I asked my wife before the service. I'm just kidding. I'm making that up. But they will. Girls will put on a show to get a guy. It's funny. Sometimes you see when there's that little flirtation thing going on, and you see someone who's just so happy all the time. I'm saying, who is this person? I never seen him like that. All I see is grumpy. All I see is miserable. All I see is complaining until Joe Schmo comes around. All of a sudden, we're just as happy as we can be. We're just flipping our hair everywhere. Don't put on a show, amen? Again, there must be likeness in a commitment to the Lord. But then a second here, I got to move. Number two is commitment to the marriage.
Amen.
You should make sure that both of you believe that marriage is for life. Romans 7:2, for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband.
Amen.
Matthew 19:6, wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. You should make sure that both of you believe that divorce is not an option. It should not even be mentioned. You do not throw that word around as a threat. That is an unchristlike thing to do.
Amen.
And that no matter what happens in life, God forbid, but if somebody backslides or someone is unfaithful in the marriage or someone has a life-debilitating injury, that you are committed to that marriage until death do you part.
Amen.
That's what the marriage vow is.
Amen.
That's what it is. We don't like to talk about preacher. You know, I always laugh when I do the premarital counseling. I'm the guy that rains on the parade. I'm the bad guy because I bring the reality of life to their mind and to their eyes, to open up their eyes.
Amen.
And this is reality here. Again, there must be a commitment to the marriage until death do you part. So number one, you need to be compatible. Both, they must be Christians. Letter B, there must be commitment, must be the same. Your commitment to the Lord, your commitment to the marriage. And then letter C, there should be the same in character.
Amen.
Character. Oh, boy, I could preach on this one for 2 hours. Job chapter 1, would you go there, please? Job was a man of integrity.
Amen.
Integrity. I want to say to some young men, and I'm not thinking of anybody right now, I'm just thinking of the generation we live in, and the young men in general, not all, we have some fine young men, but for many of them, I want to say this, grow up.
Amen.
Grow up. I'll get to that in a minute. There's more. Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was a husband and he was a father.
Amen.
And he talks about his substance and so forth. My point is this. In marriage, there has to be character.
Amen.
Character. It takes character to be a husband. It takes character to be a father. It takes character to be a wife. It takes character to be a mother. Marriage requires a person to be responsible. to be loyal, to be mature, to be a hard worker, and to be good with your money. That's what marriage requires. Young men, listen to me closely. If you're thinking about marriage, you have to have the character to get out of bed in the morning.
Amen.
Wake up. Don't sleep all day. Put down the video games. Oh, I've never seen so many older young men into video games like they are. I mean, playing for hours, and they're married, or they're on the internet, or on Facebook, or online, doing goofy stuff.
Amen.
Grow up.
Right.
Marriage means you have to go to work. You have to work hard all day. You have to pay the bills. You have to put others' needs before your own. You're going to come home from work tired to a wife that has needs, to children that have needs, to fixing things around the house, the leaky faucets and the broken dryers and cutting the grass and painting things and landscaping and all of that. This is the reality of life.
Amen.
Wife, future wife, part of life is cooking. I'll do the rest of the message from down here. I'm not saying men cannot cook. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is, that's part of life.
Right.
It is. Cleaning the house, cooking meals, doing laundry, changing diapers. That is all part of having a home.
Amen.
I don't like that part. That's reality. And you know what? The key to maturity is you grow up and say, this is life, and I'm actually going to enjoy doing this. I am. I'm going to put my best foot forward. I'm going to do my best because I'm not looking at the tediousness of the task. I'm looking at what that task does for my home and my marriage.
Right.
And that's very important. You know, the world writes songs. It's interesting. And things like this. All you need is love. And a lot of young people swallow that. Now, I never heard this song, but I looked up something about all you need is love. And this song, the lyrics of it popped up. I didn't even listen to it. I'm just trying to tell you I didn't. But it's called Living on Love. And I was looking at the words. I said, you got to be kidding me. Two young people without a thing. Some say vows and spread their wings. Settle down with just what they need. Living on love. Who wrote that? Are you kidding me? Do you know the sad thing is there are young people, including myself when I was young, that believe that? I don't need a job. I don't need that. I got love. Oh, yeah? Tell that to the electric company. When you get that whatever color slip it is these days that says your electric bill is overdue. Well, I got love. Would you like some of that? It'll laugh you out of town. Tell it to the mortgage company. Tell it to Chesapeake Utilities. Tell it to the car loan people. They don't want that. Marriage is responsibility, and you must have character. By the way, young lady, if you're a lady of character and you marry some guy that's a lazy bum, you're going to regret it the rest of your life unless he changes.
Right.
You will. But he's cute. Yeah, see how cute he is when he turns 40 and he's laying on that couch with that big old gut and no hair on his head like me. I'm just saying. If there is no character, listen to me, if there is no character, you are not ready for marriage.
Amen.
You need to grow up before you get married. Even think about it. Get yourself a job. Start saving money. And don't think you can marry and have the love of your life and the family on working the register at McDonald's. It ain't gonna work. It doesn't work. You liking this one tonight? I am.
Amen.
Number four, and we're done. So you need to be compatible being Christian. You need to be, sorry visitors that are here tonight. But anyway, two is commitment to the Lord and to the marriage. Number three is character. And then number four, and I think we're done right here, and that is convictions.
Amen.
Convictions. You should be the same with whoever it is you're praying about in the areas of major importance. Areas like this. And I'm just going to shoot them off for time's sake because I do want to hit this last section here. And that is this. The King James Bible.
Amen.
You know, I want to see, and I know many of the older guys do, I want to see some young men that have some convictions.
Amen.
What do you believe? Do you have any standards of your life?
Amen.
Are you just parroting what parent and the preacher says and just going along with what everybody else is doing? Where are the convictions? What do you believe?
Amen.
Figure it out. Find out. Get some convictions in your life. And when you go to the marriage altar, you're praying about somebody, they need to have the same convictions.
Amen.
About King James Bible. Number two, write this down. Being a Baptist. Well, she's cute, but she's a Presbyterian. Oh, yeah? That's going to be a problem. Why? You don't even know why? I wonder how many young people in this auditorium even know the difference between a Presbyterian, a Methodist, and a Baptist. Do you even know that? Like someone just said, do you even care? You should. Because there are differences, and they do make a difference.
Amen.
I'm an independent Baptist by conviction. Not just because of my dad or my mom or anybody was, because they weren't. I am by conviction. I hope you are as well.
Amen.
How about this? Write it down. Standards of dress. How are you going to dress the kids?
Amen.
Just saying. What if you have a little girl and she starts growing up and you have to dress her? And you say, well, I think she ought to just wear skirts. What was that? No, that's what the Bible teaches, that ladies ought to wear. No. Guess what? You're going to have problems in your marriage.
Amen.
You're going to have problems when she starts wearing this stuff that is revealing and sensual and trying to attract the other sex as she becomes a teenager and you're at a disagreement with your spouse. You better get this nailed down.
Amen.
You better talk about this. Better figure it out. How about this? Right and wrong music.
Amen.
You say, I do, and you come, you go out on your honeymoon. Next thing you know, they're turning on some kind of station or plugging in some CD. Next thing you know, you got Elvis Presley or somebody on the radio. You have something like somebody else. What I'm saying is, get it subtle. Get these areas subtle. How about tithing?
Amen.
Well, got to put our tithe in. What are you talking about, tithe? We don't tithe. You're not taking my money, right? That's what could happen. How about this? Children. Your view on children.
Amen.
Having them. And I'll just leave it at that. And then how about Christian school? I have seen this. Do we send the kids to Christian school or do we not? You need to have the same convictions in these areas. It's no big deal. It is a big deal.
Amen.
And get it settled before a courtship begins, and you figure it out, find out, and so forth. I want to stop right here with this. I'm going to just rattle these off. So those are the areas, again, that are you want to look at compatibility. They must be Christian. Commitment the same to the Lord and the marriage. Character. They must have the same character and also convictions. And then lastly, notice, what are the areas of life that can be different? Because we're not saying everybody has to be exactly the same. There can be differences, but what are the areas? Well, here they are. Letter A, write this down. Your background. Well, you know, whether you came from a rich background or a poor background, whether you were raised in a Christian home or not raised in a Christian home, or whether you ethnic backgrounds or educational background, those are things that all can be different. Letter B, how about this? Your personality. You know, it's interesting because typically, not always, but typically, people marry opposites. One is bubbly, the other is quiet. I don't get myself in trouble. Amen. But, and so forth. So, personalities can be different, right? Not to be the exact thing. You know, you find all of us that are married, we understand that we and our spouses, we think differently. That's just human beings. We just think differently. And so again, that's okay because they can be used to complement. Letter C, write this down. Spiritual gifts. You can have different spiritual gifts. Some people could have the gift of mercy. Some can have the gift of teacher. Some can have the gift of prophecy. Those, well, if you're this and I'm that, then we can't get mad. Sure you can. That shouldn't be a big deal. And then lastly, letter D, and we're done. And that is interests. Hobbies, sports, playing an instrument, they can be different. You don't have to like everything that your potential spouse likes. You don't. In fact, you'll find if you humble yourself that you can actually like some things that you didn't think you would like.
Amen.
And you like it because in marriage you love her.
Amen.
And so you learn to like it. And so again, these are all areas that God can use in our lives to complement one another and to help us grow. And these are differences, those four things, that we should welcome and appreciate in the other person.
Amen.
So principle number two tonight is the principle of compatibility. Number one, be patient. Number two, compatibility. Again, compatibility is to be determined as much as possible before a courtship begins, not by a courtship.
Amen.
If you get started right,
Amen.
You're going to find that you're going to stop some of the future problems that could have happened from those that did not get started right. And you'll be glad you did. You'll have a testimony that you can bear the rest of your life to people about how God blessed you because you did it the right way.
Amen.
Let's pray.